I am going to give my talk, but there's a word I'm going to try not to say. And I'd like you to say it. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'll give you a clue. Oh. My clue doesn't work. Well, there's a thing. Suppose there isn't any
light.
Here we go then. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be
light.
And there was
light.
You got it. And God saw the
light,
that it was good. And God divided the
light
from the darkness. And God called the
light
day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's from the book of Genesis. That's how the Bible starts. It's a very ancient story about how things came into being. Of course, whoever wrote this, I think, was much more interested in poetry than science. But it's very interesting that scientists would tell a similar story in that
light
was there at the beginning. From the book of Exodus, story of the people of Israel wandering through the wilderness. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them
light,
so that they could travel by day or night. From the Psalms, maybe you know these words. The Lord is my
light
and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? From the prophet Isaiah, we heard this one at Christmas. If you were here, you'll remember it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great
light.
On those living in the land of deep darkness, a
light
has dawned. Ah, this is great. Now, from the Gospel of John, again, we often hear this at Christmas time. And I think when whoever wrote this sat down and thought, how shall I begin my Gospel? Obviously, they've sort of drawn a little bit on that Genesis story about creation. Because here's how it begins. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the
light
of all people. The
light
shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You're doing very well. Without you, this little talk wouldn't be possible in the same way. Now here from the Gospel of Luke, we've just heard it. Simeon took Jesus, the baby, in his arms, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all peoples, a
light
for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Here's some words of Jesus recorded in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said, you are a
light
of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people
light
a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives
light
to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your
light
shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, from the final book of the Bible, what's that called? Anybody know?
Revelation.
Revelation. You've read it. That's good. Here we go. This is from the, coming towards the last words of that book. It's a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the
light
of a lamp or the
light
of the sun, for the Lord God will give them
light,
and they will reign forever and ever. And back to the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I have come into the world as a
light,
so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And to move out of the Bible finally, from the 1868 children's magazine, which was called The Little Corporal. I expect you've got all of the editions. Well, that was the first time that the children's hymn by Susan Warner was published. Many of you here will remember it. Maybe you still sing it every day, for all I know. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear
light.
Like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner and I in
mine.
You know it, don't you? Do you know about this Christingle tradition? Perhaps you picked up a little bit over the years, and we're going to hear again shortly some more thoughts of it. But I read something the other day that's published by what's called the Moravian Church in Britain. So this is a tradition that comes out of Germany, and they've got various churches across the UK. And on their website, they published a little explanation about what we call Christingle, because this tradition began with the Moravian Church at Christmas in 1747 in a town called Marienborn. I had to look it up because I couldn't quite remember where it was. It's roughly halfway between Hanover and Berlin, and I know that's not going to help some of you, but it's sort of in the middle of the northern bit of Germany. Marienborn. And so Christmas there, roughly 250 years ago, at a children's service, some hymns were sung, and the minister, who was called John de Wattville, he read verses which the children had written to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And then he explained to the children the happiness that had come to people through Jesus, who has kindled in each little heart, he said, a flame which keeps burning to our joy and our happiness. Now, to make his point clear, what he was saying clear, he had a little illustration in his mind that he wanted to use. So each child were then given a lighted candle tied around with a red ribbon. That was all there was to it. I bet the people who were busy yesterday wish it was as simple as that. So a candle and a little bit of red ribbon were given to the children at Christmas in this service in Marienborn. And there were some prayers. And the minister ended the service by saying, Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts that theirs like thine become. And he wrote a diary about some of his activities, and the entry for this day concludes, hereupon the children went full of joy with their lighted candles to their rooms, and so went glad and happy to bed. I read an article a few months ago by an Icelandic woman who was explaining the importance of candles a few hundred years ago in Iceland. And although when I say this now to you it's going to be obvious, and it is obvious, but I hadn't really thought about the significance of candles. So it's only like, you know, 150 years ago, maybe less, there was no electricity, was there? So maybe if you were lucky you had gas or oil, but before that, when the sun went down, that was it. It was pitch black. And the candle meant you could see in the dark for a few hours if you wanted to. I mean, maybe we have a power cut now and again. You know, that's the closest we can come, I think, to understanding the significance of it. If you have a power cut, you know, one of the first things you want is a candle, isn't it? I mean, that is the power of it. And the interesting thing that this Icelandic woman had written about the value of candles, because they were very valuable because of the process that was involved in making them. But she said, and this is the thing that quite hadn't struck me before, she said, if you had a candle, you could read. Just let that sink in, because that had never really occurred to me as a thing. You know, I had this sort of vague idea that people only started reading in the 20th century. But, you know, of course, it's not true. If you had a candle, you could read. You could educate yourself, as well as sort of chatting to people and seeing them. So it's enormously valuable to be able to do that. Anyway, the candle that was given out by John de Wachtville of Moravia became a symbol of the light of Christ and the joy and the happiness that can come from it. Now this tradition was taken by the Moravian Christians all over the world. As being good Europeans, they went all over the world and went as far as Canada and Pennsylvania, Tibet and Suriname, which I think is in South America, isn't it? And it went to the Caribbean and South Africa. And wherever it went, because this happens, it got adapted slightly. So we've ended up, you know, with oranges and things stuck in it, and we'll hear more about that in a moment. And it was taken up by the Children's Society in this country, which, in case you don't know, used to be called the Church of England Children's Society. That's how it started. It's an Anglican charity. Anyway, they took it up as a way of promoting their activities. As for the funny word Christingle, well, nobody's quite sure how that came about. Various suggestions have been made. Some people say maybe it comes from the old Saxon word ingle, which means fire, as in Inglenook fireplace. So therefore it means Christ fire or Christ light. And other people say it's from the German Engel. Anybody know what Engel means in German?
Angel.
Angel. So maybe it could be Christ angel. And some say it could even derive from the German Kindle, related to the word for child, Kindle, Christ child. I've no idea what the answer is. Doesn't seem anybody else knows either. But that's what was behind some of the thinking of Christingle. Well, thank you for joining in. Let us all continue to speak and to live the light of Christ. Amen to that.